I started on the maintenance program about a month or 2 months too late. And since it was such a significant restoration, everybody in Washington wanted to have their say-so on it. So it went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But it's not the FAA's fault. They did a wonderful job. We got the license last Sunday. So we still have to fly it 15 hours for the acceptance flights. And then the check pilot, Ray Fowler, has got to bring a check pilot in from California to get his 6158 ride. So next week, maybe the week after, we'll start flying it.
That's going to be great. And I talked to Ray about it. It was very complimentary. Said wonderful things just about the taxi test. Let's rewind. We're going to show some slides here and just sort of have these up so you folks can appreciate it. One of the coolest guys ever in the Warbird movement. And how many Warbird people do we have out here tonight? I'm sure we got quite a few. In my opinion, one of the coolest guys ever was your friend Walter Suplata.
Yeah.
And Walter's farm, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the probably most watched Warbird YouTube videos ever in existence. Literally had airplanes stuck in the woods, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the XP-82, as you do when you're Walter Suplata, was stuck in a B-36.
Yeah.
And that's where you found it.
Well, actually, I went there in 1992, and I saw the E model 82, and I looked at the side profile, and I thought it was a single engine Mustang until I moved a little bit and saw it had two fuselages. And I asked Walter to sell it to me. He said, I can't sell it right now. And like 5 years goes by, and I had sold a B-25, so I had a pocket full of money. And I called him up, and he had just sold it 2 days earlier to Doug Arnold, who in turn sold it to Wally Fisk, who in turn sold it to Pat Harker, who's building it now. And I went up there in 2007 doing another IRS appraisal for him. And here was what I thought was a Mustang fuselage underneath a bunch of sheet metal, like siding on buildings.
Right.
He says, that's a P-82. You have a second one? Yeah. So they ended up selling me that.
And it is the XP-82.
It is the XP, the first one ever to fly.
Let's look at some of these slides. Here's a profile. It is very similar to a P-51, but really it's a completely different airplane, isn't it,
Tom? This is the first. I'm looking at that screen over there.
That's fine.
This is the first design in 1941 with Edgar Schmid, the designer of the Mustang, a German immigrant. He drew it out, and he put it in his left top draw, and it just put it away in 1943, November 43, when Hap Arnold came. Who's got the clicker? There we go. There's another drawing.
There we go.
Somebody, who's
we have the clicker out here. We'll just bring it out here. We can get Tom to run it. There's some drawings right here that you see. Some engineering drawings.
There we go.
And you had to dig all of this stuff up. One of the most fascinating stories, we're going to get to this on this airplane, is where he found the engine and where he found the canopies.
There we go.
And that doesn't sound like much, but it isn't when you need them, isn't it?
There's our airplane going together in 1944 right there. It was designed to be an escort fighter for B-29s. Because the single-engine Mustangs didn't have the range to go from Saipan to Japan and back, and they couldn't cruise with a B-29. 29 was a 300-mile-an-hour bomber where the Mustang would cruise at 280, so a lot of times they had to go in, but you know, unescorted. There's our airplane right there prior to its first flight, 15 April 45. Every picture you see now will be the airplane that I have now.
Let me ask you real fast. Was this the airplane that Colonel Anderson flew?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. We all know Bud Anderson, the old crow who's, I think, at the gathering tonight.
The old adage is it was just two Mustangs put together. There are only five parts on the airplane that are the same as any Mustang. And it was designed to be a bomber and a gunship. You see right there, the pod in the center is an eight-gun pod that would add to the six guns in the center section. That would that have 14 forward-firing 50s. And then right after it first flew 15 April 45, it was then tasked to NACA in Cleveland, Ohio. And there it is flying in Cleveland right before its accident. And it was a test bed for Cleveland, flying all the different weapon systems. There's our airplane there, 887. It skidded off the runway November 1949, bent the center section. Walter Suplata went up there, bought the airplane. They were going to scrap it. They went up there and he bought it, unbolted the wings, sawed the center section in half with a chainsaw, and brought it home. And there's Walter there, and that's me talking to him. And here's the one fuselage being lifted out. So I went back in 97, found the fuselage, And I asked him if he would sell it. And he says, this was in December, and in April they decided to sell it. So I went up and bought it. But in the meantime, I went to any other place in the United States and Alaska that I knew had Mustang, had a P82 parts, and bought, put a retainer on every Mustang part, every 82 part that I could buy. So when I was able to successfully buy it, then I bought all the other parts, and I had enough stuff to put a whole 82 together.
I want to tell the story about the engine, because the engine story to me is one of the most fascinating stories, and these folks will appreciate this.
The engines are actually a 1649 Merlin engine, but they're the latest version, built a 23 and a 25. One's a counter-rotating engine, it turns to the left. And that engine, brand new, there were only 40 of them ever built, and 20 of them went on 82s. 22 of them went on 82s. The first 22 82s had Merlin engines. The last 250 had Allison engines. And we found a brand new motor in a garage in a box in Mexico City. There's a serial number on the original skin on the side of our airplane. There's the ID plate. And we had to dig through Walter Spada's house down through 2 and 3 layers of 6 foot deep of parts. Each one of his rooms in his house was 6 to 8 feet deep, and starters and generators and airplane parts. So here we are digging down in the cellar underneath an upright piano right there, and we eventually find the one belly scoop right
now,
there.
Now, is it true that in the cellar he had erected a Corsair for the kids early on? There was a Corsair fuselage down there.
There was a model Corsair down there.
A model Corsair, yeah. Okay. Well, that's how those stories go. There's Tom right there. Now, here's some Alaska stuff.
And this is the Alaska wreck we started recovering. Alaska was there were 14 82s that went to Alaska. And walking into the wreck shop, we had to park the helicopter out on the river because of the tidal flows and the blades couldn't hit. The airplane crashed there in 1949, tragically killed both pilots. But walking in, we could land it on any 360-degree circle. We landed at one particular place, and walking in, we found a jettison canopy. One of the pilots had tried to get out. Canopies are completely different than a Mustang. So there's the horizontal stabilizer, and here we are lifting the horizontal out right there with a tree as an air drag. And there's a 600-pound load that we would put in there, and the fellow lifted it all out with a Robinson R-44 helicopter, 600 pounds at a time. And there's
for everybody out here that doesn't understand this, the parts that you're pulling out right here would be used for pattern.
These are used for patterns, but we got a lot of good parts out of it. What you'll see in the next, there's the picture inside the container of millions of dollars worth of parts. It looks like rubble, but it's not. It's a huge amount of good parts and patterns. And there's a B-25 in the background. There's the horizontal stabilizer mashed. And there it is again. And here's the left-hand turning Merlin out of Industry 12s going together. Brand new motor, but he still had to take it apart and overhaul the motor. And here's the airworthy right-hand fuselage I cut from Don Whittington out of Colorado. That's one of the 13 remaining 82s that came out of Alaska. They all got scrapped. He went up there and bought all the scrap out of a junkyard. And there's one brand new canopy he had that thought he would fit his H model Mustang or his D model Mustang. He had two Mustangs. It actually would fit an 82. So there's an inside view of a fuselage and the bottom view of the fuselage. They looked like junk, but it had a massive amount of good parts in it. And here's the parts we're disassembling, hydraulic cylinder, so forth. And here are some of the parts we got out of the Supplot airplane, and here's some of the parts we got out of the Whittington collection and all the other stuff. And there are two gear castings right there out of the Whittington parts, engine mounts, miscellaneous flap, tailwheel hinges, flap arms, rudder pedal mounts, tail gear hinges. That's the stick controller. It's a full tool controlled airplane. That's a flap hinge. There's one fuselage coming apart to be made to a so we could copy parts. There it is on a fixture, and there's the beginnings of the inside.
This is the longest I've ever seen Tom Riley sit down. I just want you to know that right now. If you ever go to Tom's shop and you try to interview him, you have to do it usually with a welding mask down, and he's moving all the time. So pardon me if I'm a little amazed at you staying seated here.
Thank you. We're even copying the graffiti that was inside the airplane to make it original. Right there it says, I'll have the tickets for the theater for you tomorrow.
That's great.
I'm reading the screen over there where you people are reading the other screens.
I love it.
And there's a horizontal stabilizer going together. There we are shooting the horizontal together. Horizontal again. There's the leading edge of the horizontal and the horizontal laid out. The one fuselage starting to go together, shooting there. We're about a year into the project now. We even duplicated the wrong pedostatic system hole. You can see the hole through this, the shiny aluminum there. Here's an engine mount. We had to duplicate one complete engine mount. Two verticals off the Alaska wreck, center section flap. This is part of the controls for the elevator and the rudder in the back. Here's the center section flap with the plexiglass laid over the leading edge so you can match the original rivet holes. Those are Clecos, look like porcupines.
Wow.
There's the center section flap. Now here's the right-hand turning engine right there, that from Vintage 312s. I think the first picture was the right-hand engine, this one. The first one was the left engine, this is the right-hand engine. And center section spars, they're 19 feet long, 6-inch square build of aluminum, milled out of that. Here's the center section going together. There's the shop manager, the cat.
That's right. You have a couple of those down there, when I remember. There's a couple of cats down there.
Only one now.
Only one.
Wow. There's the fixture of the center section. And quickly going through, there's some of the leading edge spar from the crash out of Alaska. We're duplicating the spars right there. Virtually none of the pieces that hit the ground that hard could be used straight off. We had to bring them all down to NDI, non-destructive inspection. And we have a stack of papers yay deep of parts that failed and parts that passed. So we couldn't trust any of them that hit the ground so hard. Here's the center section going together. There's a leading edge for the center section. There's the control pulleys for the throttle and propeller controls for the left to the right-hand cockpit. Landing gear going in the center section, hydraulic bank.
We're starting to see more systems now.
I'm sorry?
We're starting to see more systems in these pictures.
This is mostly hydraulic systems in the one center section on one side, right there.